Today we'll be in the benefits of suffering. This will be number two. I think we're finishing off 1 Corinthians 12 at the end there. Do a little review before we get to there. You know, I might have the wrong slideshow in here. We're going to have to stand by for 1 minute. Excuse me. See what happens. It's labeled number two on the file, so it might be right, it might be wrong. We'll go through it and we'll see what happens. I know I can still talk, so you're good there.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I don't have my voice box going, so before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And that just simply means for us, we get in tune by confessing our sins to God the Father. We're then cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to be fully guided and influenced by the Holy Spirit. And let's take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the day. We know that you have a larger plan than we can fully fathom, but we know that you're always there waiting faithfully for us to step in it and continue down this path of grace that you would have us grow in. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Thank you for everyone in this congregation. Thank you for our country. We know that sometimes things don't always appear the way that they really are. So we just know that you are working within the circumstances to the benefit of all. And we thank you so much for that. Thank you for being on the side of the believer and against evil. And we just ask that you can guide us today and strengthen us through your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So the benefits of suffering. Like I said, this was a little detour after Philippians, and I didn't know how far this was going to go, and I still don't. But that's okay. We'll just keep going until we kind of feel like we got enough of the benefits of suffering. You think, well, I can't really get enough of that. I know I feel like that too, you know, but I think the Scripture has something to say, and we'll teach about it until we can't. Or until the Holy Spirit directs us other ways. So the benefits, in case you missed them last time, I wanted to just briefly cover them again, not in detail, just kind of mention them here in passing, because one of the things about these benefits, if we don't know that we have these and we don't know them in our minds, we don't understand what we have, you'd be surprised, because then you won't even think about them and you won't use them. And that's a tragedy, because these are the benefits that we need within the suffering. Because without these, what do you have left? The suffering. So there's not much there to for positive, for motivation on that side of the fence. But what we're referring to is the power of God within those circumstances, moving through that and using that power. And there is a lot of benefit in that. So the first one started off with a bang. It was because right off the bat in James 2, there was a command to consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. So we saw that it's obvious that this is available to us within the suffering. But also on top of this, this is this foreign concept to most people, for number one, believers, and number two, those that aren't growing spiritually in the Word. This is going to be a foreign concept. And also, I'm going to add to this, is those that are going through suffering and aren't applying what we're learning in church. In other words, if we're a hearer and not a doer of the Word. Remember, the doing part takes the applicational part. That's part of the process in the Word of God. Our minds should be changed. If our minds aren't changing, we're not going to think properly. We're not going to change our minds to think with God's, you know, solution. As powerful as God's words are, they can have absolutely no effect on your life. They're here. We can talk about them, but they can have absolutely zero effect. And that's one of the downsides of this, is that we do have a volition that some, I say downside, it's a positive thing, it's the grace of God. But sometimes our volition doesn't seem to apply the things that we learn in a timely manner. And we all, I fall into that, I know you do too. I should have applied this then. But that's how it works. So, but because you're thinking, well, if your thinking isn't changed, then you have to ask yourself, what's the point? What's the point? There is no point, because we're learning, we're growing, and if you're not living in a manner that is showing the teaching from the Word, if that's not being, you know, manifested in your life, and you're not seeing that change, we need to pick up on that, because there's no point of this if that isn't happening on the outside. So we have to, you know, see the process through. Remember, if you remember the imperative back in Philippians 2:5, have this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ. So many times we look at that and we say, you know, I mention that a lot, the mind of Christ. We can say that. And sometimes it kind of seems like this phrase, it's way far off in the distance, the mind of Christ. Like, no, I really can't do that. That sounds good, but that's the reality. This is all that is. All that is taking the mind of Christ, which is His words. Don't think of this is the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. This is what we teach. This is what we learn. And this is what we think with. So see, it's not far away. It's not a place that we have to say, you know, that sounds really hard, or I can't do that. Because it's here. It's what we're talking about. It's just taking note and following through with it. And then I also came across 2 Peter 1:4 that says we have become partakers in the divine nature. Partakers. Let me just read that real quick. Let's see if we can find this. Nope. All right. Well, this should be interesting. 2 Peter 1:4. It says, "For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Do you see what this is telling us? We have things that we have access to that allows us to not only be something that is above and beyond ourselves, the divine nature. God has given us access to that. But it says that we can escape the corruption that is in the world by lust. And then verse 5 says, "Now for this very reason, applying all diligence." There's our word, apply. Apply right there. That's why we say it so much. Apply, because look at the meaning. Apply means to bring to bear, to make every effort, every effort. So we hear it, we listen to it, we know we get to partake in it, but then, you know, there comes a part on our side where we have to make every effort to make it a reality in our lives, to apply it, to think with it, to allow it to change you. It says applying all diligence in your faith? There's the answer. You think, apply what? What am I supposed to hurry up and apply? Faith. Diligence means swiftness of movement or action. Haste, speed, earnest commitment in discharge of an obligation or experience. Eagerness. So we should have an eagerness to take what we have, what I get, what you get, and to make it happen. Make it a reality. To allow it to change our lives. Because, like I said, if we continue down the road without this eagerness, with just having this kind of lackadaisical attitude of just sitting, going, you may be listening. That's no question in my mind. At least I know your eyeballs work. I don't know if these work, but you see the point. It's diligence. It's a swiftness of movement to action that we have to perform. Because really, time is of the essence when it comes to the spiritual life. If we take what we learn and we sit with it, what good is that doing us? Because many of the times the things that I'm seeing and that we're learning hit us right where the circumstances, where we need it. So it's a matter of timing, and part of that timing is the swiftness of you applying immediately after. And then, so you can see how trusting in God should be combined with our swiftness to application. That's that eagerness. And then he kind of shows us what this looks like. He continues, diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. There's one of our words that we've been talking about. Remember, that's the testing of your faith produces this. And then he says, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. So, there's a lot here, and I'm not going to go through all this, but do you see what happens on the other side of the swiftness? It gets us to a place where we are persevering, are enduring through the process, because we are swift and eager to apply. That's a process. And a lot of times we hold up the process because we don't allow God to work in our lives. Well, part of the work includes you trusting in what His Word says. That's a big part of this. That's the only part of this. If we don't believe what we hear and we don't apply it to our lives, guess what's going to change? Absolutely nothing. And if you notice nothing is changing in your circumstances, this is the part where we should go, right here. The eagerness and the swiftness on our part to make it a reality, make it happen. And when we don't apply, we just saw what that looked like. But we have to realize that we have to take a look at when we're not applying, there's most likely a reason that's holding us up. Things just don't happen just because we're not applying, or we're applying for a reason, right? And he brings us out just a few verses down in 2 Peter 1:9. For he who lacks these qualities is blind. This word means unable to see, unable to understand, and it refers to a mental and spiritual blindness. And then he says, or short-sighted. And this word means only seeing what is near. When I say getting your eyes on the circumstances, let's call that short-sighted. Getting the eyes on what's around you, that's what's called short-sighted. He's become short-sighted and blinded. And then look at what's causing all this. Having forgotten his cleansing from his former sins. Now, we keep seeing this deal come back up. And a lot of times I kind of push it aside and I say, yeah, we know that. But a lot of times we don't necessarily think about this in this detailed of a way. This is a noun, and it's katharismos, And it means a cleansing. It means a cleansing. But we are very familiar with the verb form of this, katharizo, in 1 John 1:9. So what this is telling us is that we can sometimes forget the cleansing. And that can slow us down. It can allow us not to apply in faith. And this is something we've been seeing. It's kind of coming up over time. So never discount this area, because look what it does. You know, we forget to apply the things that we learn. It holds us up just in that area of actual application. Application. And this just tells me that this process isn't automatic. We can learn, we can grow, but it's not automatic. It does require your thinking, you to think. It requires your volition. It requires you not only to think, but to make right decisions, make right choices. Remember, that's the spiritual, the warfare that we're in. It even goes down to that, those details. It's choices, it's individual choices day by day. And when we forget what this is referring to, that cleansing, we're not fighting on the right side at that point. We've taken ourselves out of the fight because we sometimes don't think about our sins in the ways that we should. We need to try to remember. God knows we're human and we forget. But there's certain things sometimes that, you know, we try to drag with us. We say, well, I know about all this other stuff, but I kind of really like this one, so I'm going to take it with me, and I'm just going to kind of maybe do it every once in a while, right? Well, news alert, you're believers and you're growing believers. Those things that we try to drag with us because we may enjoy them, God is tracking that. And that what is that that's doing for us is it building the circumstance and the discipline on ourselves. And notice that it builds and it builds and it builds as we drag that with us, because we're trying to drag it through the mud. We give it everything we got to continue that with us. But that's that snowball effect in the cartoons. When they push the ball, it gets bigger and bigger. And it's going to be a problem. We've got to be able to crush that, or at least be aware of it, what we're doing, because God's not a fool. And He realizes that you're weak in certain areas. We all are. We're human. Sin nature. So just be aware of those things. And then you can correct. You can make small corrections as you move. So that's the last thing we need to do, is forget to apply because we have some sin that's holding us up, or we're refusing to confess. And this just tells us, of course, number one, the process isn't automatic, because when God's Word tells us that He is more powerful, that He has the solutions, that, you know, they're more real than anything that we can see, and they supersede the physical circumstances. His Word has told us these things multiple times. And then we have essentially rejected the mind-altering truth that has external effects as well, just because of what we just talked about. The verse says, because we have forgotten His cleansing from His former sins. So let's not forget about that. And if we have forgotten the cleansing of sin, you're also in a new area of suffering. Remember, I haven't been teaching on this. I've been referring to testing to the maturing believer that's in fellowship. You've actually put yourself in a new area that you might have thought was testing. God is testing me this whole time. Man, this is rough, and I've been getting hammered. Well, maybe you need to look at this first. If things aren't changing, things are the same, and you're in pain, we need to investigate this. And that's one of the main reasons of lack of application. So this is serious, and this is a new area that you're facing, and it's a discipline, divine discipline. So don't ever mistake these things. And we know ourselves. We know what decisions we make. You know, we know what we've confessed, what we're not confessing, what how we're growing, what we're applying, what we're choosing to carry forward, what we're choosing to leave behind. We know all these things. So at the same time, you should know if this is discipline or if this is testing in your life. Because God sees everything. He doesn't just see what you see or what you choose not to see or what you think others see around you. He sees all across the board. And he wants you to recognize that. That's it. Just have a recognition of that. And that's a good thing, though, because what does it do? It allows you to be happier. It allows you to get in a new, not in divine discipline anymore. Because think about all that time we carry those things with us. Discipline. Confess, move on. Now you're in a new area. Because now you're dealing with a cleansing that you've went through. And now all that's left, once you've cleansed all unrighteousness, is what? Righteousness. So now you're back in the game and you're ready to move forward. That's all that is. Same concept found in Revelation 3:19 that has to do with this type of suffering. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. All that means is have a desire to turn away. Have a desire to have a change of mind in the right direction. And the immediate process, we know that begins for us with the cleansing. Because we can do all the things in the world, we can move that part aside, but then there's another problem. We start to come up with our own solutions on how to deal with that sin. And that leads to another area. Remember, it's not just the sin per se. It's the effects after the sin. Sin always causes effects. And usually what lingers with us is that guilt. That's the thing that you need to chop off. Because that'll put you in a worse spot than you were when you just committed the sin. Because it can go on after that. But that confession, whack, cuts that off. Because not only are you cleansed, but you are forgiven. That's the beauty of it. That's why it's so amazing. So the word zealous here means to be intensely serious about something, to be eager. Another word for eager. And that just means what we just said, to be eager to have a change of mind in the right direction. So, because remember, the only issue when we are receiving divine discipline, the only issue is sin. There is some kind of sin in our life that we're not tracking with, or that we're not keeping track of, or we're being kind of loose in our thought about. That's the only issue that we have when it comes to divine discipline. That is it. There's either righteousness or there's unrighteousness. There is no in between when it comes to God and His mind and His thoughts. So we've got to get out of that unrighteousness aspect and get back in the light, in the walking in the light, as the scripture refers to it as. So, and really, none of these studies that we've been doing on the benefits of suffering apply until you actually get to this point of that, you know, that cleansing effect. I just wanted to bring that out because many times we jump this step and we move on and say, well, I'm getting tested. I'm getting a lot of things happening to me. And that may be happening. I'm not saying it's not. But we got to realize there's other things that can be causing adversity in our lives, and we should be aware of what we're in because of our choices, because of our decisions, because of what we're saying maybe to other people, maybe what we're physically doing. All these things come into play on this. There's a lot of things going on. We're human and we're capable of both mental and physical sins. So, just ask yourself that. Because if you're going through that, if you're going through that adversity and there's no change, everything's the same, look at this area right here. So we've been talking about suffering for blessing. That happens during the maturing process of the believer. Remember that. So, and just because, you know, you got to ask yourself, that might be throwing you off to have a different verse up there. Just ask yourself, if we continually talk about these things, and as we move through them, if they sound really good, but they're just not working, we have to ask ourselves, what's not working? What isn't working? Because I can guarantee you that the Word of God is not broke. It is not any some all of a sudden false. I'm not telling you these things because I'm just, you know, want to tell you these things and they sound really good and we just leave it at that. No, these are the words of God. That is no joke. And we got to take that seriously because we will stay in a spot and think those are pretty words. Benefits of suffering, yeah, right, I got way more suffering than that word or this verse can tell me about. Really? That's the way we need to get out of this thinking process. That's not how the Word works. Our situation is not over and above the Word of God. The broke part comes on my side and your side. Not the Word. Maybe we're not up to par on this level yet. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we can't say, well, you know, we can't put that on a pedestal, the benefits of suffering, on and look at it from afar. We have to live it. We actually have to think with these things. So, kind of goes back to being cleansed and being faithful while you're in the midst of these things. So, and also don't think that you can spiritually advance and just keep doing that same old sin, because that is a negative. Negative. If we think we can drag that with us and continue to get to that next level, that's part of the sacrifice, I feel. As we move forward, you will continue to shed things. Shed the old things that were dragging you down. And you start to pinpoint certain things. You will never totally defeat until death, right? We have a sin nature. But you can at least defeat them mentally by thinking truth and applying that truth and making the right choice. That's a sacrifice, believe it or not. Because you wanted to actually do something else. But because of what Jesus Christ did for you, we are choosing from a position of love to make a decision and sacrifice our old sin natures. And that's really where we all want to be. Because these are the things that count. These are the things that we take. I always talk about packing our bags. That's the thing. The sacrifices, the mental sacrifices that we make in your spiritual life by applying the truths, taking them and sacrificing yourself, and taking them and actually saying, okay, I'm going to do this because of the Word says it, and I believe it because I love Him. That's where the position we want to be in. But I know it takes progression. I realize that it takes progression. And no one's arrived. You know, we don't arrive ever until, you know, we're departed. Then we've arrived in heaven. But we have to keep growing spiritually. We don't ever arrive. We just keep moving like a fire is behind us, running, trying to get away, right? I have a picture in my mind. It's hot. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Because it's easy to get short-sighted, get my eyes on the circumstances, and then be blinded, and then just stay there. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've done it. You've probably done it at some point in your life. We can't do that. Our time is so limited, we have to start making decisions. Okay, what do I want more? You know, so many people are, they can focus, they can plan, they can do so many, devote so many hours towards their retirement, but they can't devote so many hours for eternity. I mean, what do you see what the thing that we're talking about here? They're devoting something, and you've all seen the people that have devoted all that time and effort to only realize none of it. They die before they get to that point, or right when they retire, something happens, they get cancer. Well, if they would have been focused on the right retirement, on the eternal retirement, I'm not saying don't focus on your retirement. Retirement's a good thing. You got a plan, right? Your people. But at the same time, which one's more important? Is it the spiritual things or is it the physical things? Well, really, ideally you want both, right? Because you know that if your first priority is the spiritual, well, that's going to run the physical anyways. He's in control. He's pushing the buttons of life, death, sickness, illness. So we just need to flop that around. So back to the benefits. Joy. We have joy in the midst of suffering. And if we are ever going to consider it all joy, and I think we all want to do that instead of just going through the motions of suffering, then what did it say? It said we have to know. Understand that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Do you realize that? I mean, I can see that and say, I know I'm being tested. I know this is making me better and it's forming me. It's making me a better Christian. It's producing this endurance, this perseverance, this patience that I need to get through this. That has to be real because that's a fact. That's what's happening. And remember, I'm not on divine discipline anymore. I'm referring to you as growing, maturing believers that are trying to leave the old behind and continue with the new. That's where we're at here. We have to realize that God is working in your life. And the testing of your faith results in endurance. But notice how everything is driven by what you understand. It's always about what you understand, how you understand it, in other words, where you're at in your spiritual growth, in order to apply that. There's a difference between going through suffering and knowing that it's doing something of benefit and going through it and not knowing that. Because you'll just tap out. You'll continue with the short-sightedness if you don't believe that it's for your benefit. Remember, we're in a training process. It is. It's a training process. And God knows how to train us very, very well, even down to the details of timing in your life. Part of all that comes into play. And we have to realize that this is a true, honest testing ground that we are in right now. And everything that comes into play with that is the suffering in your life. So that's the major part of the testing ground. Is the suffering. But that's not a bad thing. Because remember we talked about that last time. That should be a privilege. Because think about it. It doesn't start right when you become a believer. This starts to get piled on as you advance. God is gracious in His suffering and His testing towards you. And what He allows, He graciously extends to you to be a part of. He's graceful in that. He doesn't say, okay, you're a new believer, I'm going to just hammer you with this testing. You look back, you didn't have nearly what you have now. You don't, and you didn't. There's a reason. You see how there's benefit? There's love behind that. And He's coming from a position and saying, okay, I want you to realize what it's for. I want you to know because you're in it and this isn't going to change, but it's only going to get better. And that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be thinking. You have to have a positive attitude. You really do. I know a lot of times that's hard to have in the midst of suffering, but you can get to a place where you're in physical pain and have a motivation up under that pain that's coming from your soul. That says, I know that this, what this is for, and yes, I am hurting. Yes, it's not easy, but at the same time, remember what Paul said? He chose this over not suffering. We have to get to that point where we realize there's so many benefits to you as a growing believer that we start to not necessarily enjoy it, but your soul can rejoice in the midst of that suffering, because this is just the physical. Remember, your soul is not taken out of you and thrown in the physical. That's inside of you. You go through the circumstances, the spiritual part of you, the spiritual life, you go through this. This just happens. The physical body, these things just happen. But there's something a lot bigger than that. It's called your soul. It's spiritual. It's called the power of God in you. And that's what we need to be able to realize, that it's a lot bigger than short-sightedness. It's not about short-sightedness. Not even close. So, and this endurance, this is what this endurance is referring to. That's what meets God's standards. Remember, we're considered whole or undamaged. You may be thinking, well, I'm damaged in the midst of this suffering. And you may be. But look what makes you whole, undamaged, complete, applying mentally. That doesn't mean the physical is going to change at all. But what you think can be totally different than your circumstance. Your circumstance is telling you to think one way. The Word of God is telling you to think another way. And we have to make a choice of which one we decide to do. Because, you know, you have always heard the statement, mind over matter, and whatever. But that's true. That is very true. Because the Scripture requires your mind. It requires your thoughts. And you can still be in a position of suffering in pain, a lot of pain, but still be making righteous decisions in the right direction towards the Word of God, applying mentally. This is still the same, maybe internally, still the same, physical the same, but you see, you're making right decisions, you're glorifying God, you're doing things in the... Now, that's where it's at. That's the purpose of it. And God will not continue that forever. We talked about that. So, and don't forget to ask for wisdom if you lack it, as James 1:5 told us. So we left off with 2 Corinthians 12:10, just after Paul asked the Lord three times to remove the thorn, and then he answered him. I'll start at verse 9. I actually might have this. Let me see. Yeah. It says, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with the insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we got through some of these, but we didn't get through all of them. And here's the kind of word I kept referring back to. This is what we should, how our attitude should be in taking delight in the suffering. This is the worthy choice that Paul is making. Well content. So you remember weakness. I like this one because it covers about everything. A state of debilitating illness, sickness, disease, lack of confidence, feeling of inadequacy, to experience some personal incapacity or limitation. Okay, we're all in there. Got me. One thing I wanted to bring out right here is that notice that Paul isn't referring to anything about withholding anything from himself. He's not referring to that. He's not saying that I'm going to withhold something that I physically need. That we're not talking about that. We have needs. Everybody has needs. What we're referring to is a thought process during this. Just want to make that clear. I'm not saying don't do something that you normally do. You all have certain needs that need to be met. So, and then with insults, remember that, shame or insult, mistreatment by others. With distresses, a state of, a state of distress or trouble, distress, calamity, or pressure. We all have that. With persecutions, we talked about that. That's a process or a program designed to harass and oppress someone. Persecution. Difficulties, a set of stressful circumstances. Distress, difficulty, anguish, or trouble. How many times do you deal with stressful circumstances? How about every day? You know, we hear all these things that Paul's going through and think, wow, I deal with every single one of these. I deal with every single one, and you do. You do. They're all common to us. These are things that we all go through. They kind of change. You notice they all have a little different meaning in the nuance of the definition. But we deal with all these. Of course, I don't think we've gotten to persecution yet, as I said earlier, but who knows, you know. And what Paul is telling us as he goes through all these things is that there's an alternative. There is an alternative. Okay? There's an alternative to the way people usually, normally, deal with these things. And it applies to us too, the way that we normally and usually deal with these things. Paul's saying there's an alternative to that. And then he gives us the reason why he would rather boast in his weaknesses. Well, first of all, he says, for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ is his motivation, and we should have the same motivation. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. I can say that, and that might not mean much to you. But we'll get more into the Christ aspect to this, because actually that's what you were called to do. I know that it does sound kind of scary. You were called to suffer for Christ because of his suffering for us. This is our witness. This is your examination on this earth between Satan and God, good and evil. This is what we do. And we show not only Satan and glorify God of who's more powerful and who can handle the suffering, because it's not us. It's applying what you know within that suffering. That's your examination. That's your witness to the world. And remember, there's people watching you. There's many angels witnessing, watching what you do. So we have to make right decisions in the right direction for Christ's sake. And then the explanation and kind of the summation of this, of what this is referring to and why it's so beneficial to every believer that allows himself to experience this. Look what it says last. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now you can tell people that, but they'll say, no, you're lying. Right? That's the word, though. This is the word of God. When you are weak in the midst of suffering, and we all feel weak when we're in the midst of suffering. When it hurts, when things are adversity, you feel weak. But that is the spot we need to be to the strength to be manifested in our lives. We have to go through the weakness to access the strength right here. Paul's saying, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And that's what we'll pick up, where we'll pick up on the second service. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's never, never seems, there's always something new. And I just pray that we can continue to pick up on the details, to have a desire to grow in the right direction, because it's not just about the suffering. It's not just about the way we feel. It's about what your word tells us. There's a lot more to it than what we feel or think. And we need to begin to think in the way you would have us think, because we can access you. And we want you to work on our behalf, but we have to do it the way you want us to do it. And I just pray that we can do that as collectively as we move forward in this life, because we need your power more than ever. And thank you for Jesus Christ, who you sent, because without your Son being sent to die on the cross for our sins, we wouldn't have access to any of this power that we're referring to. So we feel privileged just for that fact to being able to take part in these things because of Christ. Your word tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You made it so easily available, and we don't understand grace, but we know it's there and we know it's free. And we know that Christ went through a lot, dying physically and spiritually just for us so we can have it as a gift. We thank you for the option to access these wonderful things because you love us. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
My soul first.